As we prepare our hearts for the scripture reading, let us pray. Merciful and loving God, we come seeking quiet communion with you in this place apart from confusion and stress. Grant us the stillness of heart to hear and to respond to your words of life. May we find quietness in your presence as we strive to live according to your teachings. In the name of the living word, we pray. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Genesis 12, 1 through 4a. Let us listen to the word of God. Now the father said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17 on page 863. Let us listen to the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of us learn things at a young age, while others it might take a little bit longer. Overall, it's better to be late than never to learn something new. I read an article about someone who said, "Learning to golf at the age 42 changed my life." She says golf has helped her develop personal and professional relationships. It's taught her that sometimes the harder you try, the the worse you do. Most of all, it's helped her gain confidence. Lynn shares of this one time when she stood on a tee box in Monterey, California, ready to hit a ball, but since she was still new to the sport, she couldn't block out the noise from a dozen male golfers waiting behind her. It was a crowded day. It was the first hole, and the course was backed up, and she knew if she tried to ignore these men, she'd shank it, thus confirming a perception of women on a golf course. Yet she mustered courage to demand that they observe one of the most basic rules of golf etiquette, to maintain silence as she addressed the ball. She stepped away from the ball and turned around, folding her arms across her chest. And she looked at them, facing them, waiting until they noticed. One did, and he shushed the rest. When they were all quiet, she smiled and waved, stepped back to the ball, taking a calming breath, and she whacked it way out. And the men clapped. Her smile could not have been any broader. Not only did she enjoy their acclaim, but she felt so proud that she could stand up for herself. Now, she shares more in her article about how golf's changed her. Even though she started at a little later in life when she was in her 40s. And that's what I want to focus on today. That's what our scripture talks about, starting something new. Today we learn about a man named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, who wants to meet Jesus, even though it's not very popular among his colleagues. And because of it not being popular, he meets Jesus in the cover of night. Yet Nicodemus is like many who have questions that need to be answered before he believes or has faith in Jesus. He doesn't want to get into this without first understanding what he's getting into. So he specifically has a conversation with Jesus. He knows the Torah. He's a very learned Jew. He recognizes there's something different about Jesus compared to all his other colleagues, so he inquires. However, Nicodemus and Jesus, when they start talking, past one another. Nicodemus is stuck in this literal understanding of being born again, and he's perplexed. He doesn't get it, and he doesn't comprehend that it's a metaphor or understanding the significance of baptism. And this is when Jesus changes the conversation. He uses language that he understands. Jesus shares with him a reference about Moses, one that he would understand. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, says John 3:14. For those of us who don't remember the reference, like a good Pharisee would, this circumstance that Jesus is referring to comes from the book of Numbers, when the Israelites are in the wilderness and they're wandering for 40 years, and the Israelites, they're complaining again. They're complaining about God. They're complaining about Moses. It seems like God grows weary of this rebellious, ungrateful Israelite. So in that spirit, God reminds them that God's boss. And to stop complaining, so he sends poisonous serpents among the Israelites. A lot of Israelites are killed by these poisonous serpents. The ones who aren't tell Moses and God that they're sorry. They won't do it again. And they ask God to help them. Give us relief. God, out of his mercy, instructs Moses to make a bronze serpent, to put this bronze serpent up on a pole, and if anyone gets bitten by a snake, all they have to do is look at this bronze serpent, and they will live. They will have relief. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he's the bronze serpent. He will be lifted up like the bronze snake on a pole. And whoever looks at him or whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. This encounter with Jesus must have been pretty compelling for Nicodemus, because this isn't the last time we see Nicodemus. There are two other times that Nicodemus appears in Scripture. The next time we see Nicodemus, he defends Jesus in front of the Pharisees. He argues publicly they shouldn't put Jesus in jail without first giving him a hearing. It's the only way he can push against the leadership. And then we finally see Nicodemus join Joseph of Arimathea to bury Jesus, to put him in the tomb. And these interactions tell us he's working on his faith in Jesus each time. This is part of the reason I like the character Nicodemus so much, because we can see his faith growing over the span of time. First, he encounters Jesus in the cover of night. Jesus speaks to him on his level, taking time to answer his questions. And while his knowledge about Scripture is certainly strong, his faith in Christ is still maturing. It's still very young. Some might say that his faith in Christ is immature. But over time, we see that it matures, and so does his defense for Christ. And while he's still a Pharisee in secret, his faith in Christ is maturing, and he defends Jesus in subtle and overt ways. And then finally, it's at the cross where Nicodemus finally believes in Jesus. Jesus was lifted up on the cross for all to see, and he saw Jesus. Just like the bronze serpent on the pole that he had referenced before, where all the Israelites had to do was look at the bronze serpent and they would be healed and live. And that's what happens with Nicodemus. He's looking at Jesus, lifted up on a pole on the cross, and he's reminded of his first encounter with Jesus, the one we just read about this morning. All along, this whole time, as he was maturing, Jesus was the Son of Man, the Son of God. All he had to do was see him that way. And it's at the cross when he does, and Nicodemus will have relief. He will live forever. Certainly, it took a while for Nicodemus to figure it out, but it's better late than never, right? Nicodemus finally puts it all together. God gives his one and only Son, lifted on a pole for all to see, so everyone will have eternal life. His faith has matured over time, and he's so compelled when he sees Jesus on the cross that he helps Joseph of Arimathea put Jesus in the tomb. All of us here in this room, we're in this thing together. We all have different levels of faith and gifts, just like Amy was sharing. Some are young in the faith, like Nicodemus was at first, while others have gained maturity and faith over the years. Some may excel in certain aspects of our faith, yet still need to grow in other ways. Some here are mature in biblical knowledge, while others are mature in loving others. Some may be mature in your sacrificial giving and offerings, while others are mature in compassion. The flip side of it is, we all have areas we are immature and areas in which we can grow. I read once, there are very few people who are extremely mature in their faith, such as a Mother Teresa or a Martin Luther King Jr. Most pastors aren't at that level of faith and maturity that those people are. And so we're all in the same boat. We're all at different levels of our maturity and our faith. You don't have to be a long time, 30-year member to be mature. Faith doesn't always look like that. Over the years, I've learned that children, they're usually the best at giving to others. I've learned that the poor are often the most generous. The busiest people are usually the first to pitch in. Age, wealth, time, and health is not always a factor in faith maturity. Certainly, we all have areas of faith which need to be challenged, so we all have room to grow in wisdom and maturity. There's many examples of discipleship in the Bible. The apostles dropped their nets when Jesus asked them to follow them, while on the other hand, Nicodemus took many more months and years and questions in order to be convinced. But luckily, none of that matters to Jesus. Whether we come to him in the cover of night in secret, slowly figuring it out over years, or whether we figure it out right away, neither should we distinguish. We must approach each disciple, each person who comes, whether they believe in him at first or if they have lots and lots of questions, much like Jesus approaches Nicodemus. We need to speak in language, in terms that folks understand, recognizing that everyone has different levels of maturity. In the right time, God works through each one of us. Understanding some may take longer than others. Understanding that sometimes the young in faith are mature in some ways that we are not. Like Jesus, we shouldn't distinguish, but instead allow everyone opportunity to come to the table, to see the cross here, in and outside of the church. That's our task. As we approach the cross this Lent, to stretch in the parts of faith where they need stretching. If it's hard for you to pray, then ask someone who prays, and then pray. If it's hard for you to give generously to others and God, ask a child to teach you generosity. If it's hard to give of your time, then find someone who's good at volunteering and stretch. If it's hard for you to be compassionate, take off your shoes and put someone else's on. It takes time to learn, time to gain maturity, and if we stumble, if we need help, we can look toward Christ, who's on the cross, on this pole for all to see, and you'll receive relief. Amen and amen.